Welcome to the Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus-produced radio show that strictly talks hockey. I am your host, Steves, in with you on this last day before the holiday break. Well, I guess the holiday break's already started here at the university, but certainly the holiday break for most people in terms of getting ready. For some of the kids out there, holiday break starts tomorrow. Congratulations to them in terms of getting out there and having a little fun with that. Parents, I hope you enjoy the 2 weeks with the kids as they get ready with some Christmas and some fun and all that kind of stuff. Happy holidays, everybody. It is the Hockey Show. We are back here on another Thursday. Going to have a big show here with you tonight because we do have a guest with us as I fade out his choice of song, Motley Crue's Kickstart My Heart, which is a good way to kick off the show. Nothing wrong with that as we bring in this gentleman. Let's give him the right sort of introduction as well. Ladies and gentlemen, the Hockey Show is proud, honored, privileged, humbled to welcome a man whose responsibilities literally keep the Bison women's hockey team on the ice. He's played hockey at a number of levels, including the Springfield Collegiate Sabres and the Winnipeg High School Hockey League, and he now runs the show behind the scenes for the Bisons, where he's in charge of all the gear, all the sticks, and all the everything else that he does, and we'll talk all about that in a second. As the Bison's equipment manager, ladies and gentlemen, the Hockey Show is happy to welcome Mr. Matthew Ralph to the show. Matthew, how are ya?
I'm good. How are you, Teebs?
I am good. Nice to have you along. I understand, we were just talking about Christmas break, so which means that it's also exam break around here. How did the exams go for you? Everything went going well?
Yeah, it was awesome. It's good to be done.
Yeah.
It's nice to be able to sit back, relax, and have to worry about opening books.
Yeah, that's all right. A couple weeks to get ready for the second semester now, eh?
Yeah, exactly. That's
all right. Nothing wrong with that. Let's get into this, because you got a pretty good story here, pretty fun story in terms of what you do and how you do it and everything like that. So we're going to jump in the Wayback Machine, head way back to the beginning, some two decades ago, where Mr. and Mrs. Ralph, welcome to Bouncing Baby Boy to the family. Give us an idea of what life was like for Matthew growing up in the Ralph household.
It was good. A lot of sports oriented. We were very sports oriented family.
Good.
Big hockey fans, obviously. Liked football, but it was good. Got to travel a lot, and very happy with my childhood.
Nice. I like that. That sounds like a good time. Anything that stands out? Any major highlights in terms of the young lad known as Matthew?
Probably just discovering that how much I love sports.
Right on.
Yeah, from a young age, it's been always sports, yeah.
Rumor has it, and again, you can confirm or deny, I'm pretty sure you're going to confirm this, but rumor has it, you may have a sibling who's into hockey a little bit.
Correct, yeah.
Who is this sibling? Why should Bison fans know her name? I believe it's going to be a pretty important name over the next few years.
So that's Megan Ralph. Megan Ralph's going to be between the pipes, hopefully, next year, as she's committed to the Bisons for next year.
Right on. If you want to catch Megan this year, playing for the St. Mary's Academy Flames, who will host the Female World Sports School Challenge, announced today, January 30th, January 31st, February 1st, February 2nd at the MTS Iceplex. If you want to get an early scouting mission going there. So I want to ask you, because the Hockey Show is firmly in the camp that kids should play as many sports and certainly be encouraged to play as many sports as possible when they're growing up. Were there other sports that you excelled at outside of hockey? Because we'll talk about your hockey career here in about 10 seconds.
Yeah, I played football.
Okay.
Played football for two seasons.
Who'd you play with?
Transcona Nationals.
All right.
Played a lot of baseball.
Yeah.
A lot of baseball. Lacrosse in high school. Volleyball. I pretty much played everything across the board.
Nice.
A lot of golf, too.
What's the one sport, if you had to narrow it down, can we say, if it wasn't for that hockey obsession, what sport might we see Matt Ralph excelling at nowadays?
Oh, definitely football.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the football. What position did you play?
I played quarterback, actually.
Oh, nice. Look at you.
Yeah, I played 2 years, and then it got so busy with hockey, and it was one or the other. So.
Yeah.
Hockey came out. Yeah.
Did I was going to say, you're pulling the Andrew Kopp there, where Andrew Kopp was the quarterback in high school and had an injury and then turned to hockey. Is it the same idea, or did you just choose for hockey over?
Just chose hockey.
Yeah, okay.
Basically had the option to one or the other. It was getting too busy carrying over into fall. And
that's fair.
Hockey was the favorite. So
not a problem with that. Speaking of hockey, as you were just saying, you did play some hockey. You played some high school hockey, actually, with the Springfield Collegiate Sabres.
Yeah.
I want to ask about this because I always find it interesting. You wore number 19. Was there any significance to that number?
So I always wore 9 all the way growing up.
Okay.
And 9 was gone. I asked the guy, I said, can I have your number? And course, no rookie. You can't, have it.
That's fair.
So I went to 19. Mm-hmm. I really like Joe Sakic. So okay. Big Colorado fan, so I took number 19 there.
Okay, not a problem at all. Again, nothing wrong with 19 either in terms of number of players that wore it. Some really good players. Sakic. Who were the players that, obviously Sakic might be one of them, but who were the players you idolized or emulated growing up while you were on the ice?
I really liked when I was playing. Crosby was my young age kind of idol. Him and Sakic I liked. Yeah. And then Matt Duchene. I really like Matt Duchene too.
Matty Duchene. Eh?
Yeah, Colorado fan, but still like him. Yeah.
Down in Nashville now, needs to start scoring some points. How does a guy like Duchene? I was asking this the other day. This is completely off topic, but how does a team win 8-3 over the Islanders and Duchene gets no points? Like,
oh,
come
it's
on.
Crazy!
I'm like, dude's super talented, but either way, you had 24 points in 68 high school games, including 13 points, 3 goals, 10 assists in your final season. Not a bad career at the high school level at all, I would say. I had a chance to sit down with Transcona Titans girls team last month. We discussed the possibility of high school hockey being sort of this massive untapped market in the city in terms of teams, or you know, higher level teams anyway, maybe overlooking some of the talent that's in that league. Based on what you've seen at that level and based on what you now know about the U Sports level, would you say that there are, that again, that the high school hockey level is a massive untapped market for this Winnipeg region?
Yeah, I think I'd agree with that. There's a lot of really great players on both the men's and women's teams. Yeah. And I know watching some of the women's games, there was quite a few standouts. There's obviously, you get the highs and lows in that league, but there's definitely a lot of talent in that league.
I mean, again, I don't disagree with you on that. I'm going to ask you specifically, because you can certainly name names on this one. Who were the arch rivals of Springfield Collegiate when you were playing?
Transcona.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was always an interesting one. My last year in the playoffs there, we beat them 2 games going to the third period, 3-1. They were up and 3-1 lead blown, and Sabres onto the ship.
Is it better to know that you came from behind to win them, or is it just we beat them and it feels good?
It was pretty nice to. I'm good buddies with a lot of these guys.
Oh, right on. Okay. Yeah.
So it's nice to have that over with them. The joke for this Christmas was, oh, does anyone have a Titans jersey? I need an ugly Christmas sweater.
That's fantastic, actually.
Yeah, you didn't like that one too much.
Good job. I like it. Who was the one team that always seemed to have your number?
That's tough. I want to say Garden City was a big one.
Okay.
They were always just a tough team, kind of in your head, always kind of got it at the end. So,
speaking of Garden City, at your age...
Yeah.
You have a Garden City gopher that plays for the women's hockey team. Did you happen to...
I played against her, actually.
I was going to say, Caitlin, you got to play against Caitlin. How was the battle against Nault?
I honestly don't remember it too much, but yeah, I just remember going, oh, they have a girl goalie. Like this is new. And yeah, I think that game was pretty close. I think we ended up winning, but... I think she was pretty good when we did see her.
Right on. That's awesome. I was going to say, I didn't think it was going to... I mean, I never thought it would be, you know, come to the you versus Nault question. But at the same time, though, when you said Garden City, that's kind of cool.
We talked about it at the start of the year there.
Oh, right? No way.
She walked in. She's like, did you play high school hockey? I'm like... I'm like, yeah, and I know you did, so...
That's fantastic. Right on. So you went from there, went from high school hockey, graduated out of high school, which is important, and then went to play a little puck in the Hanover Taché League. For those that aren't aware of what that league is or what it does or what ages are in there, what is the level of hockey like at that league?
So it's a small rural league that essentially it's all those guys going to school and just kind of... not hanging up the skates, but kind of just playing for fun now and wanting to stay in a competitive league. So it's fast. It's a lot more physical than compared to high school.
Okay.
It's you don't have a lot of time with the puck compared to that league. So yeah, it was a little bit of a change, but definitely a good level of hockey.
Rumor has it you played with the Springfield Extreme team. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah. What was that team like in terms of makeup? In terms of, you know, teammates, like, did you have a good time on that team?
So majority of the team was kind of our core SCI Sabres team.
Okay.
So we had majority of that, and then we had guys from Bossier, guys from just Winnipeg, a lot of different guys, but generally the core of the team. It was SEI.
So pretty fun time then, is what you're saying?
Yeah, it was an awesome time.
Obviously, you know, played through that a little bit or whatever, but numbers started to go down in terms of games played. I mean, we had a little discussion about this beforehand. You don't have to go into details if you don't want, in terms of what happened there, but it sort of led you to the next sort of stage of your life. So do you want to talk about that sort of transition from player to what the next stage was?
So I was finishing off and I was kind of middle of school, and school kind of needed to take priority at that time. So I was definitely focusing on university and working at that, and I started to miss a little bit, and I kind of was starting to suffer the consequences, and decided to take prior to school, go to school, and left the team and started just kind of committing to that, and that kind of helped me get to the Bisons.
That is awesome. Again, there was a couple stops in between there, I understand, in terms of what went on and everything that happened around that. But it seems that you kind of found your calling when you found employment. Where do you call home in terms of a work environment now?
So I work at Laser's Edge Pro Shop,
okay,
owned by John Rempel in Dakota Community Club.
Right on. There you go, John. A little free advertising for you. How long have you been there, and what's your current role there?
So I applied last year. I was working in Selkirk at Sorcerer Sports there.
Okay.
And I applied over trying to get something closer to school just before the start of last year. And John pulled me in, had an interview, and he said, we want to make you the manager and want you to run the show here. So
look at you, jumping right into the manager's role. I understand that you cracked the whip pretty hard around there over some of your current employees. I don't want to name names, but there's a few Bisons that seem to frequent the place.
Yeah, a couple former Bisons. Jordy Zacharias was working there for a while, and right now we have Alana Sharman.
That Sharman.
Yeah.
Always into everything, that Sharman. So I got to ask then, because, I mean, obviously there's a tie in here, but how exactly does the manager of a fairly successful skate and pro shop get talked into working as the equipment manager for the Bisons?
So basically started just kind of working my tail off there, trying to get the place going and up and running. And I started to, like, I met Sean right off the hop because he was there when we kind of did our intro, kind of welcome to Laser's Edge. And so I met him, I met a couple of the players, and started working, and within a couple months I got Sean coming while John was on a sabbatical saying, can you rivet skates? Can you do this? Can you do that? So asking questions, that kind of stuff. And that just kind of carried over. And then I had Rob doing it, and it was kind of, it just, I didn't think of anything of it. And then one day me and John were just kind of talking and about the shop, and he said, man, I really wish I could make you an equipment manager for us. And I said, well, why don't you? And he said to me, well, you go to U of W. And I said, well, that can change.
Look at you.
So he said, we'll sit down and talk about it once the season's over. So sat down, talked about it, and it worked out. I ended up making the switch to U of M, and now we're here.
So I got to ask you then, what are you taking? What's the eventual goal for Matt Ralph when you graduate here?
So I'm in science right now, working towards a degree in psychology.
Oh, look at you. Nice work.
Obviously want to try and pursue the equipment manager field, but we're going to start with an undergrad for psychology and see where that takes us.
I thought it might be maybe a chemistry with the way some of the hockey equipment just, you know, stinks out there.
No, not chemistry. Yeah, it's bio or psychology.
Okay,
those
fair.
Two are, yeah.
I followed, and I was mentioning this before the show, I followed Dana Hines a little bit on Twitter.
Yep.
As people may, if you don't follow him, you're missing out a little bit because he's the Pittsburgh Penguins equipment manager. He does a pile of stuff, so I don't want to compare you to him in terms of what he does compared to what you do, but some of the same stuff, I would assume. So let's go over a few things that he's responsible for, and you certainly can confirm or deny. According to Dana, he gets to the rink sometime between 5:30 and 6 a.m.
Wow.
For on game days.
On game days.
Yeah.
I'm usually there 2 to 4 hours before, depending on what's needed to be done.
Yeah.
Usually I'm running to a sporting goods store in the area before for last minute gear for the girls.
Sure. Yeah.
Definitely. I'm there 2 to 4 hours before.
All right. That's not bad at all. He's responsible for making coffee in the morning and laying out a few things for the players. Anything for on that side for you?
Gum.
Really?
Gum is
a big
one. Yeah.
Wow.
So John, Sean, Venla, all of them, wide difference for ranges in gum preferences.
Wow.
So yeah, that's the big one for me. As soon as I get there, I'm laying out Mentos for John because no gum for him. He likes mints.
Okay.
Sean likes his Hubba Bubba. And Venla's kind of, she's easy. She's just whatever's there. So, but yeah, that's the first thing I do is lay out gum for the coaches. Yeah.
That's crazy. Good for you. Again, we've never even given thought to, and we've been broadcasting forever. Skate sharpening, does a lot of that in the morning, does a lot of that in the afternoon, depending on what's happening. How often and how quickly can you do a skate sharpen?
So skate sharpening is about 5 to 10 minutes usually.
Okay.
Depends on what's needed to be done, obviously. But
yep.
If a couple skates on them, 5 to 10 minutes. I do skates for the girls on Mondays, Wednesdays, and then as well as before games, after games, all that. But usually it's Mondays, Wednesdays between classes. So
okay.
My schedule is usually get up in the morning, go to class, run from class from tier all the way to Max Bell,
okay.
Buzz as many skates as possible, and then go back to class and finish off the rest after.
Has the track team approached you about joining? No, I'm just kidding. Jerseys hanging in each locker pregame. He sets it up every game in terms of having them
yep.
hanging. Are you responsible for that as well?
Yep, correct.
In some cases, not that he does it all the time, but in some cases, disinfecting and sanitizing the equipment.
couple bad pairs of skates when you
oh,
get the
really?
Smell,
yeah.
you gotta disinfect them. But outside of that, I haven't done a lot of that.
Okay, no. That's good. Uniform repairs. He does a lot of that. Brings out the sewing machine, gets
yep.
things stitched up. You're pretty adept with the sewing machine
yep.
now, or
I was not adept, but
you figured it out.
Definitely yep. learning. Yeah, it's.
I gotta ask, because, I mean, again, we've seen it, you know, year after year after year in terms of some of the jerseys they have. Sewing names onto jerseys that obviously have had other names sewn
yep.
onto them. Like, do you notice that, like, maybe it doesn't catch as well anymore? Or or is there some way to make sure it works properly? Like,
no,
again, this is...
They catch pretty good. They're, yeah. Like, obviously, like, they get a pretty good turnover with their jerseys
yeah.
here. So,
yeah.
We don't have to worry about that as much, but yeah, definitely I haven't noticed that, no.
Do they go over like the specific like stitch? And the only reason I ask, because I used to work in a sporting shop as
yep.
well. Do they go over the different stitches, like Z stitching and all that, and teach you how to do the different, or is it just whatever works, just do it?
I haven't done any of the stitching on the jerseys. That we send those away. But,
oh, okay.
But yeah, I would imagine they'd go over all that. Yeah.
But in terms of like repairing them though, do they go over the different?
I pretty much whatever works.
Whatever works, okay. That's
yeah,
fair.
I'm very always looking to try and just. It's always different. Yeah.
That's awesome, though. Like I said, it's one of those things where you just go, man, that'd be cool to know. Any equipment repairs? Are you responsible for any of the
yeah.
equipment?
Yeah. Yeah, quite a bit.
Is it like a daily thing for you? Or is it...
Usually, yeah.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, it's usually nice when they give you a little bit of time in advance, but every once in a while you get that last minute one. My favorite was Paulina. First games in Mount Royal there for the
yeah.
Exhibition, and didn't even think to come see your equipment manager. Comes to the bench, like as we're getting ready for the second period, and she says, "My clip's broken on my helmet." So that was kind of my first action with the team, and my clip's broken on my helmet, and she's up second, and don't want her to miss a shift, right?
Sure,
so
yeah.
I'm scrambling through my toolbox, getting it all set up, and Paulina's definitely feeling the pressure, but it was like you gotta come see me, You gotta let me know this stuff.
Yeah, no kidding. That's important. Something that I think people just take for granted. Laundry is a monster job for
yep.
for you guys. How long does it take you to do laundry every night to get it ready for the next day?
3 hours usually. I do it in between classes, so that kind of helps me. But
when you're on the road though, like you're at the rink for an extra 3 hours and doing
yep.
laundry, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So I mean. And again, I'm not trying to you know take anything away from what you do, but like you're not getting back to the hotel in some cases until like midnight.
Yeah, no, definitely taking cabs and
short sleep the next day to go back for the
yeah,
afternoon
exactly.
game, right? So
yeah.
that's a crazy big question though, because I mean Dana seems to love it. Again, follow him and certainly watch it.
Yeah,
obviously you love it.
Oh, absolutely.
So,
yeah, this is.
I mean, we're talking about you know like again. a job that, I mean, I know you don't get paid, quote unquote, paid for it, but I mean, unless you do.
I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, we're talking like some of the guys in the NHL make pretty decent money doing this. Like, is that, I mean, obviously that's the eventual goal, but even minor league guys, I mean, are super important. Has anybody approached, has anybody even talked to you about, or is this like, I'm just going to sort of get my feet wet here and then see where we go from there?
Well, this is kind of my first experience with it. So obviously worked in sporting goods stores before.
So hold on, your first experience, and you got all, I mean, again, you've got tons of experience, obviously working at the pro shop and working at, like, how do you know how to fix some of this stuff?
It's honestly just me, like, from years of playing hockey, doing my own gear, like so many things, like the helmet is like a huge one, like the moving around the foams, playing around with that stuff. Something rips on your pants, you got to fix that, right? It's just, it's all like me trying to, I've been playing around with and just learning from that. And a lot of it's from like where I started at Keystone there in Selkirk. A lot of those guys were very knowledgeable and kind of helped me like kind of learn the craft and learn actually how to fix some of the gear. Yeah.
What's the one, and again, you can name one piece of gear or whatever, but what's the one thing that you hate doing the most about your job?
that's honestly tough. I absolutely love this job through and through. It's been an amazing experience, and I've kind of, I was talking to Andrew Koch, the former equipment manager, and he said to me, he said, get ready, this is going to be addicting. And I texted him back about 2 weeks ago. I said, I love this. I totally agree with you. Addicting.
But is there, and again, I mean, you mentioned, you know, sometimes the smell coming from skates or whatever. Like, is there one thing that you're just like, you know what? If I don't have to do this, I won't.
you know, sewing, like sewing Jills and Jocks, that one, I'm kind of like, I don't really need to do that one, but.
I would argue the players probably say you do, but
yeah, a couple of those this year.
Yeah, that's all right though. I mean, in terms of learning that stuff or whatever, we'll talk about your game day in a second, because I want to actually go over a game day, hear exactly what goes on in terms of what's going on. But people, I mean, obviously look at the equipment manager and go, you know, behind the bench there, and you know, you're sort of standing there and you're, you know, doing whatever in terms of getting ready. And and again, there's all sorts of stuff going on behind the scenes that we don't know about. What's the most common misconception about what you do? Like, people go like, oh, I didn't know that, or oh my God, you do that? Like that. What's the thing that sort of stands out that people are like most surprised about when you talk about your job?
I would probably say laundry. Like, a lot of people don't like realize how, like you said, how much laundry is there to be done. Like jerseys got to be washed every time, socks every time, pant covers every time. You got practice jerseys. You got everything. Like everything from like the ATs towels to, like, everything's got to be done. And a lot of people are just like, oh, well, you wash the jerseys. It's like, well, no, there's everything else. It's, all,
right,
it's a whole fleet. Like, I've got two big industrial laundry bins full for me at the end of every night. Yeah.
And like you said, it takes about 3 hours or whatever. I don't know what the laundry services are like at Max Bell or anything like that or whatever. Have you gone on the road and been like, okay, this is going to be, I'm going to be here all night? Like, are there some rinks that have worse laundry facilities than other places?
Yeah, I would say they're all pretty up there. Like, they're like, we're pretty average with the with the rest, so it's pretty similar. And the other equipment managers are pretty good. Like I know Will there in Mount Royal, he's been really good. Like, get as soon as we're done, hey, do you want me to help you? Do you need anything? That kind of thing. So that's been great. So
the fraternity is there then in terms of working with the other guys?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Is there, and again, I'm not saying that you have to name names or anything like that or whatever, is there one rink that you don't, that we asked the player the same question. Is there one rink you're just like, this place is awful?
Oh, Edmonton.
Really?
Edmonton, yeah.
Wow, Claire Drake is really that bad?
So we were there a couple weeks ago, and I'm trying to sharpen skates, and our ATs got the table up and prepping our players, and they've got all these kids just running through the rink that are playing the halftime or the between the period timbits.
Yeah.
And they gave them full rein to our side. So I'm sharpening skates in just a thin little hallway, and anytime somebody comes by, I got to move out of the way. Just over and over and over. So that, and then the benches there. It's not really equipment manager ideal based on the fact that yeah, when we were there, I was kind of in between the players, kind of couldn't see anything, right, trying to do time on ice, tracking time on ice for the team, and trying to poke my head up to see. And
I mean, we laugh about this because we always say that there's a significant advantage when Alberta plays at home, but is that, like, do you feel like the psychological battle is already won by the time game time starts?
Yeah, I feel like they definitely have a psychological advantage in that rink. It's definitely daunting. Like, when I was talking to some of the players and stuff like that, they're like, everyone's like, get ready for Edmonton. Like, it's crazy. But like, everything from like their machine, it's very dated compared to everybody else's. It's just a very different atmosphere, for sure.
Well, we're not going to rain on Edmonton too much in terms of the Alberta Pandas there. They certainly have an older rink, but we'll see how that goes. I know that, again, compared to, you know, Merlis Belcher, which you'll get to see later this season, yep, in terms of what they have. I know Dave, and we'll talk about Dave in a second because he's a good guy as well. They have a fantastic facility there from what it looks like in terms of his pictures and stuff or whatever. But we're going to take a quick break. Let's get the legal ID in. We'll be back in about 36 seconds, folks, so hang tight for that. Back with more of Matt Ralph and hearing all about his work as the Bison Equipment Manager and more here on the Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM.
I love the radio. Yes, I love the radio. I love the radio. Yes, I love the radio. I love you, the radio. I love you too, the radio.
You're listening to CJUM 101.5 in Winnipeg, Manitoba, your hit-free radio station. In case you didn't notice.
The radio, the radio, the radio.
I don't know what that was, but welcome back, folks. welcome back to the Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM. Happy to have you along. If you missed the first half, you missed a good chat so far with Matthew Ralph, who is the equipment manager for Bison Women's Hockey. We're getting all the information about what he does and certainly what he sees as the equipment manager. I mentioned before the break, we're going to go into it now. Let's go through a normal game day for you, whether it be a Friday or a Saturday. I assume that the routine is fairly similar.
Very similar, yeah.
So let's go through a normal game day then. What happens on game day where from the time that you're officially, quote-unquote, on the clock till whatever time the game ends?
Okay, so wake up in the morning, obviously. And
yeah, that helps, yeah.
You got to check the phone right off the hop, see any texts for any of the girls. Usually I'll get a couple in the morning saying like, hey, this, I need this done, or hey, heads up, which is awesome. I get the heads up like, hey, this needs to get fixed, or hey, I need this. So then from there, about 5 hours before the game, I kind of get prepped, make sure I've got everything packed in my bag, my backpack that I carry, and I got my iPad in there. I've got everything in there, and, head over to the rink, assuming that I don't need to pick anything up. If I do, I'm heading to a sports store before. So once I get there, I go kind of just get myself set up, get my little area set up, and I buzz over to the room and grab all the skates out of there to get done. Pull those out, put those by the machine, and then I start working on the room, getting that all set up. From there, that takes me about 45 minutes. I get that set up, make sure everything looks the same. I'm moving shin pads, shoulder pads, everything, so it looks absolutely identical. And so once that's done, I load up tape in the room, make sure everything looks perfect, head over to the sharpener, and I spend about 2 hours there. I throw my headphones on, and I buzz skates for 2 hours usually, and then... Okay. And then once I'm done that, I hang them all back up in the stalls, and I start to work on any equipment that needs to be repaired. So once that's all done, I'll usually kind of sit where I'm easily accessible, and so if the girls need me, they start to show up, and I kind of give them the opportunity that if they need anything last minute, kind of here's your chance before we get ready for warm up and everything. So once they go out for their warm up, then I start to prep the bench. I get I do my puck tower, so that's the big one this year. Everyone's
well,
been enjoying that.
We'll talk about that because it's gotten rave reviews that we've heard about. So we'll talk about that in a second. Yeah.
Yeah. So the puck tower gets set up. I get my little area set up, and then I'm kind of back just to be flexible for everyone. So the big one for me is like I always go, I make sure the other equipment manager's good. He's got everything in between, kind of, and then I head back and I get set up because usually I it depends on the game, but Fargy and Schubert are two very different preferenced goalies. So if it's Schubert, I'm doing skates right after warm up for her and heating up her glove. So she likes her glove warm and kind of broken in for every game. So if it's Schubert, I don't sharpen her skates till after warm up.
Okay.
So once she comes up for a warm up, I sprint across, take out her blade, sharpen those quick, and throw her glove in our little skate oven.
Okay.
So I get that nice and toasty warm for her, and I start buzzing hers. If it's Fargy, it's a little bit easier because she doesn't mind. She's okay with getting them done when all the players are. But yeah, so once we get to the start of warm up, it's pretty much hanging out on the bench, just waiting to see if anyone needs anything or, yeah.
So obviously the game goes through, and then post-game, what happens?
So post-game is I'm grabbing all the laundry, getting that ready to go, scrambling kind of just every spare part, like extra steels, everything needs to go back into the room. But it's tough because you got to wait for the girls to finish up in there.
Right,
so,
yeah.
So I wait for them to do that, and I'm running around packing up the sharpener, cleaning everything.
Before you go, are there consistent slow pokes? Is that
I would say there's a few.
You don't have to name them. You don't have to name them.
Names,
yeah, exactly.
But, there's a couple, but I can't complain. They're usually pretty good about it.
That's fine.
Like if they see me waiting around and I'm done everything that I need to, they're ready to kind of hustle up for me. So yeah.
Yeah. So you get everything back together, get everything, all the laundry, and start doing laundry. Laundry, you said, takes about 3 hours or whatever. What's the, again, turnaround time is what, six hours, 7 hours for?
Yeah, probably 7 hours.
Yeah. And then you're back at the rink for like 10 a.m. the next day?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah, usually.
So if it's an afternoon game, obviously.
Yeah, exactly.
So some of those games that happen in the evening, like when you go to Alberta, when you go to Saskatchewan, and they happen like Friday night, Saturday night, like get a bit of a break in there, like. Are you okay? Do you like the longer break when you don't have to get up? Don't have to rush through everything?
You know, I do and I don't. Like, I love the rink, so it's always fun to be there and get going. And, like, it's constantly on my brain. I'm constantly, like, sometimes I'm sitting in class and I'm just like, oh, like, I gotta go get this for so-and-so, or I gotta do skates right away and that kind of thing. So, yeah, I don't know. I love the rink, so, yeah.
You mentioned, obviously doing skates and stuff prior to the game, doing, you got specific, routines for both Schubert and both Fargy. Are there special requests you have to deal with? Like, do players come to you thinking, I need to change something or I want to change something in terms of the way that I'm playing the game? Or do they come to you and go, like, listen, Matt, I need a better hollow on my skate. Can you help me out in terms of maybe, do they ask you for recommendations, but B, do they just tell you what they want, or like do you sort of go, oh, I think this will probably help you in terms of doing it this way?
So a big part of my job is to actually educate the players on what they should be doing and what they shouldn't. Obviously, they have their routines. They've grown up. They've played hockey long enough, so they should know. But it's small things like if someone says, I want a little bit more bite, I want a little bit more sharpness, I'll work with that with them. I'll talk to them and say basically, like, this is what you should be at for how much you weigh, like what position you play, that kind of thing. But then also it's like sticks, like small things like, hey, like your blade's sitting a little bit off the ice. Why don't we try a different curve, or why don't we change the height of your stick? So small things like that, but they're pretty good. It took a while, but they all do know how much knowledge I have now. So they're all pretty eager to listen to what I have to say about.
So, like, training camp's like, who's this guy? To now, it's like, oh, no, Matt knows what he's doing.
Well, it was funny. John, I walked into the meeting, and I'm standing in front of all the girls, and John goes, well, okay, this is our equipment manager, and he may look like he's 10, but he's he's got over 5 years experience sharpening skates, and he knows his stuff.
Yeah.
So that was, there was a little bit of adjustment period. They kind of, it went from the whole thing at the start of the year was GSM, go see Matt.
Okay.
They were so used to, right, John sharpened my skates, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So they'd go see John, and John would say GSM, and they'd come see me. And so once that period kind of broke out, now everyone's pretty comfortable with where we're at.
You got some pretty good, or at least I got some pretty good traction anyway on Twitter yesterday when we announced that you were coming on the show. And again, the one person who sort of jumped in right away and gave you a pretty good, you know, vote of confidence was Venla Hovi, said that you're the real deal. What's it like been working with Venla in terms of, you know, her knowledge about the game as well?
Yeah, Venla's awesome. She's definitely very very special person. It was really cool right off the hop. She told me, she said, I don't let a lot of people sharpen my skates, but I'm going to give you a shot kind of thing. So, so felt the pressure a little bit, but yeah, she was happy with them. And yeah, it's very cool to see, cause you don't really see that kind of that female hockey figure too often in the fact of Venla and how much experience she's had.
Yeah.
So it's pretty awesome. I feel really privileged to kind of like listen to what she has to say on the bench about the game and her thoughts on different things. Yeah,
that's the fact that she, you know, sort of gave you the one chance to prove your worth there, and then you come through and do it. Like, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it felt pretty good. Yeah,
yeah, no doubt. We know Dave, for those who don't know, Dave is the equipment manager out in Saskatchewan for the Huskies.
Yep.
We know Dave after getting to know him a little bit at Nationals, and I don't know if Dave, if you're listening, how are you? How's things going? Great. We talked to him a couple of years back when he was in London, talked about some of the players, some of the at Saskatchewan. How much interaction, you said you got to, you know, talk to Will a little bit out in Mount Royal,
yep,
and how much interaction is there between you guys when, like, I obviously at the rink there's some interaction, but do you guys, you know, keep in touch with each other outside of the hockey sort of world?
Yeah, so I know Dave, when he saw the tweet to come on, he shot me a text right away. So,
oh, right on.
So we've kind of been texting back and forth a little bit, but it's not too much. Like, I haven't, it's obviously my first year, so
yeah.
I'm meeting a lot of these guys still, but like, I know Will, when I see him, like, he's a Winnipeg kid, so
yeah,
if I see him, I'll give him a hey and talk to him. But yeah, it's kind of different too, because in this league, not every team has an equipment manager, right? So
which teams don't then? Because it seems like it's and don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to glorify anything here, but it seems like it's a pretty important position.
Yeah, yeah. Some teams have their ATs do it, so I know for sure Calgary doesn't have one.
Oh wow!
And I'm pretty sure Vancouver has one of those Sparks machines.
Okay, yeah.
And they get their ATs just run that the whole time. So
that's odd. Like, I would have thought that especially those two schools who have this fairly long history of sporting, you know, team, lots of sports teams, lots of hockey, you know, lots of people have come through there, lots of major players have come through there. I would have thought those two for sure would have had them.
Well, it's crazy. Like you look at our team and we didn't have one last year, right?
Yeah.
And like the appreciation you hear in the girls and especially in the coaches too. Like, John was telling me, like, he said, like, you're getting ready to play a game, like a U sport game, and you're all focused, you're thinking game plan, and then somebody comes up to you and says, I need a skate sharpening. Where does your focus go? It
exactly.
goes to skate sharpening rather than you should be focusing on the game, right?
That's the part that I think that that for me, and again, seeing, you know, like, we laughed last year because there was a game, I can't remember which game it was or who it was against, but there was a game where somebody was complaining about their skates.
Yeah.
And they were talking to Rob. And during a stop and play, Rob literally sprinted across the ice, yep, to go fix this game. We were laughing because we're like, oh, there goes Rob. He's pulling the assist. And we made fun of him when he was sort of jack of all trades last year.
Yep.
But you're right. I mean, it takes that coach out of the element for however long it takes to get that skate sharpened, right?
Yep.
And I can see, and I mean, and again, I'm not trying to, again, John, you're a great guy. Please don't kill me. John is like super focused, super intense,
yep,
before the game. I could see that just being like a huge monkey wrench in his preparation.
Well, I don't know how they do it, right? Because like last year, like John's got knowledge in skates. Sean learned last year,
right?
But especially like if you don't 100% know what you're doing on the machine, like
it
makes it harder, right?
Yeah.
Like, so then rather than partial focus, like me, if I'm thinking about something else, I can sharpen skate and think of that.
Yeah.
But a lot of times when you're learning, like you totally have to focus on it, right? Because a little bit less pressure, a little bit more pressure, that can be the impact on a good and bad sharpening.
That's true in terms of not only a good, bad sharp, but good, bad game for some,
yep,
players in,
yep,
terms of the way they play. So I'm going to ask you, only because, again, we were just talking about John. how much input do you actually give John when it comes to players? And I'm not saying in terms of how they play, where they play, lineup, they're you know, what line they're on, but just in terms of, like, John, I've been noticing this player using this stick. Maybe we should change, or maybe we should talk to them about changing it. Do you have conversations with the coaching staff about some of the changes or some of the things that you see?
Yeah, me and John talk a lot about that. Like, obviously, he's my boss at Laser's Edge.
Right, yeah.
So we kind of have those conversations too, but he definitely, he knows I have the knowledge, and Sean said it when I came in. He said, like, you know a lot more about this than a lot of people, so especially me. So it's going to be nice to have your input and your thought and your improvisation. So, yeah, when I do recommend something like that, like, the big one for the start of the year was Enns. She was using an 85 flex stick, and I was like, we need to bring this down a little bit. That's like a lot. And so I told him that, and he kind of got in her ear. I kind of got in her ear, and we got her to switch off of it. And like, we've seen a very big, like, positive difference in her shot.
So there might be parents out there thinking about, you know, well, I buy my kid whatever stick in terms of, you know, what, again, explain the flex for people that may not understand it. Because, again, Kimi plays, she plays defense.
Yeah.
And, again, we're normally looking for a big shot. So you want a little flex on that stick to try and get that whip action going. But if you guys are bringing it down, that obviously creates a little less whip. So what, or maybe creates
brings more whip
if you're bringing it down, sorry. But looking at the numbers, like, people may not know exactly what they're looking at when they're talking about that.
So you're... the number represents your stiffness. So an 85 flex stick is a very stiff stick, whereas a 55 flex stick is a lot whippier of a stick.
Right.
So it depends.
For those that wanted to know, I was thinking down as in the number. Sorry, I didn't mean to explain that. But thinking down as in the number, like a 95 or you know, in terms of the way you were explaining. But again, I think that's where people don't understand that. So yeah, continue on there. Sorry, Matt.
Yeah, so basically the more, like the stronger you are, the more stiffness you want in your stick, and like the less strength you have, you want a whippier stick, right? But then there's those kind of intangibles, like different girls want like different flexes. So like, for example, Lauren Workington, she uses a 55 flex stick, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah, she used 65 last year, and we talked about it, and she switched to a 55.
See, and I always thought, and again, I'm not taking anything away from my, I mean, Lauren, she's fantastic.
Yeah.
But, I mean, watching her at Nationals 2 years ago, it looked like she, again, I thought that the stick she was using at that point was perfect for her. She seemed to have a pretty good shot or whatever. She seems to have become much more of a puck carrier, though.
Yeah.
Does it make a difference in terms of the way that she's carrying the puck in terms of the flex? Or are we talking blade now in terms of how she's looking at it? Because, again, I'm not saying that Lauren doesn't shoot. She's got a couple of great shots away. In fact, she had a great shot in terms of the assist that she had on the Kate Gregoire goal last week, or a couple of weeks ago, whatever it was, when they played Lethbridge. But I look at that and I go, like, we would never, again, from the press box, from where we're sitting, we can't tell the difference between a 65 and a 55. So how has it made a difference for her in terms of what you've seen?
Well, personally, like, I look at it, and she gets a lot more power behind her shot when she uses a whippier stick.
Okay.
It's just the type of response and where her actual kick point is on a stick. So she gets a lot more power behind a 55 flex stick, whereas a 65, it's resisting her a little bit.
So, I mean, again, for those that, again, that are questioning, why are we talking to the equipment? That's why. Like, that kind of information you're not going to get anywhere. I mean, you can get it, you know, at a sports store and stuff or whatever. But if you're going in just to buy a stick and thinking, oh, my kid doesn't, you know, uses whatever flex and whatever, there's actual science behind it.
Oh, yeah.
And the science matters. So, I mean, again, if people are out there looking to buy sticks, know what you're talking about.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, educate yourself for sure.
And I mean, we talk about the different, you know, the different, you know, hollows on a skate, for example. And I mean, you were telling me the story about Aaron Fargie. We don't have to go and get into Aaron Fargie's skates or anything like that, but about how much, you know, bite versus how much glide that you can get. What's your recommendation for, you know, for kids that are out there, you know, 8, 9, 10 years old? What's your recommendation for somebody that's looking to buy skates for their kid for Christmas?
So you mean like
in terms of
sharpening?
Yeah. How should we get them? If I'm an, you know, average, you know, 100-pound 8-year-old kid, what kind of skate job should I get?
So the standard in Winnipeg is a 5'8" radius.
Okay,
that's kind of the commonality between everyone. That's a little bit more glide, a little less bite. So that's usually in Winnipeg. You find in a lot of rural towns, 0.5" is actually the commonality. So when I worked in at Keystone Social Sports in Selkirk,
yeah,
that was a half-inch radius. That was what we did for everyone. And it's funny, I switching to Laser's Edge, I had some customers kind of follow me there, and
yeah,
I kind of had to think about it. I'm like, okay, well, do I do it at 5/8 now, or you're from a rural town? Do I stick with your half inch? And kind of, it's kind of cool to see that adjustment, especially like when you see people walking through the rink and you're like, I know you, you're from so-and-so town. Yeah. Like, if you drop off your skates, I got to do them at half inch rather than 5/8, that kind of thing.
So we were always told, and again, I this is before the science got really sciencey, but we were always told that you want I guess, less of a hollow for harder ice, for colder rinks.
Yep.
So, for example, when we're talking 5/8 versus 1/2 or half inch, I mean, do you ask players where they play often in order to do their skates properly? Like, they may come in and say, I want this, but if they're playing out in the middle of, you know, in the middle of a barn somewhere and it's minus 30 and you know it's going to be like minus 15 in the rink,
yeah,
do you make an adjustment for, do you tell them like maybe this would help you?
So usually I kind of do that without telling them they don't even, well, it's one of those things, like they shouldn't be worrying about their equipment, right?
Yeah.
Like they trust me. They know I know what I'm doing, right? So it's for them, and a lot of them, they don't notice it. It's it's more just kind of like an in their head kind of thing if I tell them. So
if he or she goes to the next person and says, hey, I want 5/8, when really they're using a half, does the next guy know that they're using a half, or is this just because they think they're at 5/8?
Well, at the start of the year, they basically all told me what they use.
Oh, okay. So you're getting it from the players.
Yeah. So they basically, okay, I use 5/8. I use half inch. Like we range from like a 3/4 to a 3/8.
Yeah.
And basically from there, I kind of tweaked it with a lot of them. I was like, hey, like maybe you want to step up the bite a little bit here, or hey, you want to go down. Like a lot of our girls at 3/8, you don't see that radius a lot at the women's level.
Right.
Most of those girls are half inch, 5/8, just that kind of standard.
Yeah.
But a couple of those girls, I'm like, hey, I don't know if you should be using that. Like, let's change this a little bit, see what your thoughts are. And a lot of it was in training camp. It was a lot of, hey, like, I did your skates at this. Try this. Let me know what your thoughts are.
Yeah.
And then we can adjust from there. And a lot of it's, like, small stuff. Like, you can go in between. Like, if someone likes a 5/8 and they go, hey, I want it just, like, slightly sharper. I don't want it like completely sharper, just slightly sharper. I can go in between, right? It's all fractions.
Right, a 16th and whatever else. Yeah. So yeah. Oh, that's kind of cool. Then at least you got the, you know, more or less the buy-in from everybody in terms of, again, that just shows John knows what he's talking about hiring you.
Yeah, it's been awesome. Like they're really good. Like at the start of the year, I said, all I asked for is your guys' feedback. Like I want to know if I do something, let me know. And this has kind of been my thing since high school, actually. Like I used to sharpen all my buddies' skates, like, and I'd constantly, hey, like, how do they feel? Do you want me to change something? Like,
yeah,
what? And it's all that feedback that just kind of build to my knowledge of sharpening skates.
So I was going to ask, because we didn't get to it, and I still need to ask you about it. Where do your ideas for the puck designs, the sculptures on the bench come from? Because we've heard we've heard players talk about them, and they come out like, hey, great designer. Hey, nice.
Yeah.
Like, did you do that? And you're like, yeah, no big deal or whatever, because we're right above you. What's the source of your inspiration for making some cool puck designs?
So a lot of it was just kind of playing around with it. Like in high school, I'd do a couple of our puck pyramids and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I brought some of those kind of over, and then a lot of it's like looking online. Like you're constantly looking at looking at the NHL guys, right? You aspire to be that. So you're kind of looking and going, hey, like the Jets did this that night.
Or, yeah, yeah.
And honestly, like there's a lot of good ones on Pinterest too. Like if I'm running out of ideas or I'm tight for time, I'll go on Pinterest and try and find something quick. But I play around with it a lot. If like I've got a bag of pucks at home, I'll just play around and see what looks cool. And
that's all right. Can't go wrong with that then. Are we going to see I don't want to call it you don't have to take over your own Twitter account. Obviously, you already have a Twitter account, but we're going to see a Bison equipment Twitter account at some point with all the cool stuff that you're working on.
I might have to convert my account over. I've got them on my, I've got the cooler puck pyramids on my Instagram there, but obviously that's private, so I want to.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, I want to probably transition that over to the Twitter. Maybe next year, yeah.
I was going to say, throw them out. We'll retweet them when we're sitting around doing nothing before the game.
Yeah, for sure.
All we're doing is talking about hockey, so it's easy for us to take a look at that. Obviously, you know, goal, like you were saying, get to the NHL, get, you know, move on in terms of, of different stuff. If you had an opportunity, any team, anywhere in the world, where would you want to be? What team would you choose to go and work for?
So as a Colorado fan, I'd want to go there, but too, like, I've watched the Winnipeg guys so much, and like, I have so much respect for what those guys do, like Jason McMasters and his crew, so much respect for those guys. And I want to be part of that room and be like, I think that's probably my goal too. Like, to stay in Winnipeg and work for those guys.
Oh, for sure. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that at all. I know that, again, equipment managing, you know, it's one of, you know, a handful of positions in with any team in terms of just the number of guys they have employed. Again, it's kind of like coaching, kind of like goaltenders. I mean, there's only so many spots for them or whatever. Has there been any thought about maybe looking at, and I know they sort of, you know, recruit them as well, but is there anybody, you know, any thought of maybe one day doing a Team Canada, going to a Spengler Cup, going to
For sure. I'm constantly like talking to John, like we're constantly talking because he knows this is what I want to do with,
right, yeah.
So with him, like, I know like the U Sport Women's All-Stars coming up, and I'm like, hey, like, if you hear anything about that, like, let me know, because I want to try and get my foot in the door. And There's definitely, like, I'm always kind of keeping my eye open for the opportunity and kind of looking.
Right.
Yeah.
We've talked about this a little bit on the show, and not a lot in terms of what's going on. New teams coming in next year. Two new teams, McEwen and Trinity Western, obviously joining next year. Five teams in Alberta, five teams in the rest of Canada. Would you like to see a Canada West All-Star game?
I think it'd be cool. We've got so much talent in this league. I honestly think it would be an awesome experience, like for those girls, but it just to express that talent, right? Like, they need something like that. Like, the men's team has the U Sport, right? The U Sport All Stars, and the women do too.
But the women's happens in the summer though, which is kind of not hockey related. Because again, they bring back some of the women who've graduated, and it kind of messes everything up.
Yeah.
So I would prefer they did it in season. And I thought, like we always said, like, they did it the last weekend of this, like not obviously the last weekend when they play, but the weekend following that, the first weekend in December.
Yeah,
it'd be perfect.
Oh, it'd be awesome. There's so much talent in this league that we need to be able to expose this, like, just Canada West, right? Like, every division should do it, but Canada West has so much talent, and like, seeing it so far, like, some of those girls from Edmonton and BC and there's a lot of talent in this league.
You have now seen every team, including one twice in Lethbridge. Who's the one player that stands out to you most in terms of who you've seen?
You know, when we were in Edmonton there, that Poznikov,
the enemy of the state.
Yeah, she's pretty talented,
You know, Alex is a fantastic
player. There was the one there when she came down and dipsy doodled through and kind of put it to the side and went bar down. I just was like, holy cow, like that she's talented.
Take nothing away from her. Player of the year last year, certainly is one of the best players out there. I'm going to give you a shot here, Matt, because we've only talked basically about hockey. Is there anything else you want to promote? Anything going on? Anything you want to throw out there? If you got a friend playing a big game this holiday season? No?
I don't know.
Nothing that stands out.
Just come to Laser's Edge Pro Shop.
Hey, there you go. Let's go down and see Matt in terms of getting your skate sheriff in there. Big couple of weeks coming back. Obviously, you guys are in Alberta for Mount Royal, then come home to play first place Calgary. We've seen a significant change since you guys were at home for Lethbridge compared to the earlier part of the season. Does it feel like you guys are turning a corner in terms of making a little noise here in the second half?
I think we're going to make some noise. This Mount Royal one's going to be a big one. You almost wish we'd played them like right after that Lethbridge series, because we were on such a roll there, especially with Gregoire getting her first one and her second one right after.
Totally.
I definitely think we're going to make some waves. Hopefully we can squeak into the playoffs here.
So the first weekend we're not back. Obviously they're in Mount Royal. That'll be the third and fourth, I believe, in terms of when you guys leave. But they're back the following week. Again, that'll be the 10th and 11th in terms of coming back to play Calgary. Again, first place Calgary Dinos in town. That, well, right now anyway, first place Calgary Dinos in town. We'll see where they are when they get here. But I'm excited. It should be a fun weekend in terms of seeing you guys back in action.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Certainly getting everything going. So.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Matt Ralph, can't thank you enough for coming in tonight. I know we talked about a lot.
Yeah, anytime.
Pretty certain there's going to be future visits for you. We'll keep the door open for you if you want to come back. By all means, say the word and we'll get you back on
for sure.
Yeah,
look forward to it.
Awesome. Thanks, Matt. With that, folks, we're going to get out of here. Free Range Radio coming up right away with Skippy, who is standing beside me getting his show all prepped. How are you, Skippy?
Good.
There you go.
Ready for the holidays?
There you go. See, get to talk to Skippy a little earlier there, everybody. With that, we're out of here for another week. There will be a show next week, folks. There will be a show on Boxing Day. Make sure you tune in for that. Same time, same place, 5:30 p.m. We'll talk a little bit of Little World Juniors next week as USA and Canada play at 3 p.m. Eastern time, yep. I believe. So we'll talk a little Canada-U.S. results on that show and talk about how the team looks and where they may end up. All that and stuff about other hockey stuff coming up next week. We'll get all that going on the show next week. Matt, once more, cannot thank you enough. We look forward to seeing you in the second half.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to it.
Right. Thanks, on. Steve. With that, we are out of here for another week, folks. Take care. And because it's the last show before the big day, Merry Christmas, everybody, if you're celebrating. If not, happy holidays. Enjoy whatever holiday you are celebrating, and certainly be safe this holiday season. Get home safe. Please don't drink and drive in terms of any of that stuff as well. We want happy holidays for everybody. With that, we are out of here for another week, folks. We'll see you on Boxing Day here on The Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM.